This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Well, good morning. Welcome to In Focus. I'm Roger Gray. It is good to have you with us. And it is good to welcome Emma Thorne from the Alzheimer's Association. You're the director for the region.
I'm over programs and services for all of East Texas. So
okay.
Provide support and education throughout the community on the disease. Thank you for having me.
That's all right. No, we're happy to. And we should mention this is Awareness Month.
Yes. June is Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month. So just wanted to kind of share a little bit about that. And
well, this is so many months. I mean, as we record this, it's Juneteenth.
Right.
Alzheimer's has only become a topic of conversation. But it seems to me, anyway, just as a lay observer, frankly, in the last few decades, generally it was dementia, it was old age, it was you name it. And now we've pinpointed a lot while still not knowing the cause.
Right. And just to kind of clarify, dementia is what we would call the umbrella term. And there's different forms of dementia. And Alzheimer's is actually the most prevalent. So each year, the association releases statistics, facts, and figures. And every year, the statistics just increase. So, you know, one in three people, seniors, will die from a dementia-related illness.
One out of three.
And 7 million people are living with it in the U.S.
And it's about 500,000 in Texas, isn't it? Something like that?
Yes. I don't know the exact number on that, but it is. And the numbers for caregivers are just, you know, astronomical, too. There's nearly 12 million Americans providing unpaid care that equates to about $413 billion a year. So a lot of staggering statistics. Always kind of like to tell people some of them. If you aren't dealing with this disease or just haven't educated yourself, there's a lot of things that will really shock you. Alzheimer's also kills more people than prostate cancer and breast cancer combined.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a problem.
and we should mention that in addition to working with the organization, for the organization, you've been there.
Yeah.
With your mom?
Yes. So my mom is currently living with this disease, and she is in more so the later stages, but I'm what they call a sandwich generation. So I have two small young children, and so I've been a caretaker, been pulled in both directions.
Mm-hmm.
But my family and I, we really didn't know what we were dealing with in the early years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been something of a passion of mine now just to educate people on what it looks like, what your resources are.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what everybody worries about. Probably you more than anybody when you forget your keys or whatever.
Right. And we'll talk a little bit about some things that you can do to mitigate the risk, if you will. My family has no family history, so I'm really trying to be self-aware of things I can do to reduce that risk.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think, you know, if you go to the doctor and they say you need to make some adjustments to your modifications to your lifestyle, if you're going to get type 2 diabetes or some sort of something that can
lower your
develop. So I think most people kind of take it with a grain of salt. But I think if doctors would say you're at risk for developing Alzheimer's or dementia, a lot of people would be sobered by that a little bit more. But that's not always brought up in a general doctor's office. So there are a lot of things that kind of correlate with heart health is linked to brain health.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of things that run alongside what's recommended for people dealing with health conditions that could lead to dementia.
How would you know, and I know you're not a physician, but how would you know that you are vulnerable to it if there is no family history?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could answer that.
Okay.
I think that there's only so many variables we can control. We do a lot of focus on healthy habits for your brain and body.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to state here, it's never too early to make these changes. There are some statistics that say as many as 45% of dementia cases may be attributable to moderate risks or factors such as high blood pressure and lack of physical activity. But adopting these healthy behaviors can reduce the risk of cognitive decline.
So physical activity actually is involved?
Yeah, like I said, heart health is related to brain health.
Okay.
So staying active, staying in school, which a lot of people aren't in school, but the, you know, alternative to that is just staying socially engaged. Mm-hmm. I think the longer you work, the better benefit it is to your brain. Not smoking, controlling your blood pressure, managing diabetes, maintaining a healthy diet,
okay,
sleep, and weight. So
okay,
I think a lot of people underestimate the power of a good night's sleep. But yeah, those are all things that can really reduce your risk. And like I said, it's never too early or too late mm-hmm. to implement those changes.
So I guess I never really thought about the, and I've certainly read, that remaining engaged, remaining mentally stimulated, yeah. That sort of thing.
That makes sense, right? Yeah.
Yeah. But I never thought about the diet, the sleep, the exercise, all the rest.
Yeah. I mean, it can't hurt, right? I think that well, yeah. I always had the perception that you either got it or you didn't. Like,
yeah,
it was hereditary.
I think most people probably did.
And I think that's a really big misconception.
Huh.
Of course, we don't know specifically what causes this. But because we don't know, I think just having all the information and making modifications mm-hmm. that could help reduce that risk are important to know.
Yeah.
And just being aware of early signs
okay.
is really important, too. There's a lot of denial and stigma associated with this disease, which
sure.
we hope might change over the years. You know, we have the association actually is the largest nonprofit funder for Alzheimer's research.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last 3 years, we have two new medications on the market that have slowed the progression of the disease.
Yeah.
So before that, we had just medication to help mitigate symptoms and
right.
help treat symptoms. But now we have made such progress just in the last few years to help slow the progression. So I'm really hopeful that that will just continue.
Okay. How are we in terms of diagnosing?
Mm-hmm.
For a doctor to be able to say, I think this is what you're dealing with.
Yeah. Again, I'm not a physician,
right.
so
there, I
think they have different avenues of doing that. But I know that most recently the FDA just came out or approved a blood test that can help detect mm-hmm. it, which is huge. Because back in the day, you know, they said they couldn't really officially diagnose Alzheimer's until they did a brain scan with an autopsy.
Yeah.
But now
that was what
going
I was
from
thinking.
That to a blood test is
yeah.
a huge stride. And I think that once you start seeing a primary care physician and you are noticing signs, they'll probably refer you to a neurologist, and the mm-hmm. neurologist typically can diagnose that from different avenues.
So the neurologist would be the specialty to see.
In my case, it was, yes,
yeah.
and for
okay.
my mother. But I think there's different doctors that can do that.
But yeah, I recall, obviously that was early on, that you never knew it until postmortem.
Yeah,
yeah, until you died. You know, you
yeah.
couldn't definitively diagnose. Now we can.
Yeah, more than we could.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and I mean, that's really recent. That's in the last few weeks that came, the FDA approved that blood test. And I think that you can also get a PET scan.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I've heard that.
I have a friend that just got
yeah,
one. Yeah.
So,
just to eliminate that as a problem.
I think that the focus is to recognize what the warning signs are. If you have a loved one that's showing signs, not to panic. You know, I lose my keys every day. I'm scatterbrained.
Okay.
So I know that's just a personality trait for myself. But,
yeah.
you know, it really, when someone's personality, they've done something the same way for their whole life, and then
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden they are showing signs of something in the total opposite direction. And a good example of that is if you're an accountant and you all of a sudden can't balance your checkbook, or you're
mm-hmm.
struggling with that, or you're a socially outgoing person and you've started to regress and you're not
okay.
really keeping in touch with loved ones, things like that. And we have so much education on our website about this. So
mm-hmm.
if you are concerned and you don't know what those warning signs look like, you know, please feel free to access that, because it's very resourceful. It would have been for me, at least.
I was reading an article I had mentioned to you before we started here about a woman who was diagnosed with early onset.
Uh-huh.
This was in her 40s. We tend to think of this as a post 65-ish condition. It can happen, one presumes, not as
yeah.
often, but can happen anytime.
Yeah, I mean, there are cases of it happening as early as your 40s.
Mm-hmm.
The majority population that's at risk are 65 and older. So I think it's more rare, but it does happen. And, you know, the thing with this disease is there can be changes in your brain as early as 20 years before diagnosis or symptoms begin. So that's why if you kind of focus on the variables you can control with those healthy habits, like I might be at risk now, I'm in my 30s.
Yeah.
So just, it's never too early to start doing that, because if those changes can start happening 20 years before a diagnosis, that's a long time to...
Yeah. And before we get into that, I know that the article I was reading about the woman diagnosed in her 40s, one of the things was memory loss.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's what we generally
associate
with. With all that. In her case, her husband had a job that took him away for a couple of weeks at a time. And when he would come home, he'd say, let's catch up on some shows we were watching. And she couldn't remember what had happened before he left. She couldn't remember what happened in the last episode of the show they saw. That I'm guessing that may or may not be a sign of anything.
Well, I think it depends. I mean, that's a good example. I'm trying to think of some more examples. You know, confusion with time and place is one thing. My husband will tell me something, and I swear he didn't. I'm like, you never told me that.
I think we all have normal
brain fog, or where a lot of us are juggling so many things that I'm very forgetful. So, of course, it's a concern that I think about with my mom having it. But I think, and the thing with the early stages, you know, you can have weeks where the person seems completely themselves, and then they'll have a day where they're off.
Yeah.
And I think that's why a lot of people struggle with the denial and struggle with the early detection, because, oh, well, she's been fine for weeks, you know?
Yeah.
I had people come up to me, and my mom, I knew she was really struggling. They ran to her at something, and they'd say, she was so great. Everything seemed fine. Well, she was really good at pretending. And, you know.
Well, this particular woman, for example, she worked, and her boss asked her about another employee, and she couldn't place the name.
Mm. Yeah.
She faked it, but she couldn't place the name.
Right.
And it was somebody she's worked with.
Yeah. And that would be alarming. I would think that would be something to register and talk to a doctor. That's a concern. I know somebody that was, I don't know her specific job, but she did work for TI in Dallas. Which I think she was an engineer. And so she was working late to fixing mistakes that were happening, things like that in your job that you're normally controlling.
And that should be
sleep.
A job that I would think would keep you mentally stimulated, yes.
Yeah. But she has been diagnosed since. She's a big supporter of the organization. She lives in Dallas, and she was diagnosed in 2015, and I recently met her, and she's doing great. She's on some of the medications that are slowing that progression. So it's an exciting time. I'm hopeful. That's just an example of you're slipping at work. You're forgetting people in your inner circle. My mom really struggled with the time of year. You know, things like that. So I was getting married right around the time that she got diagnosed with mild cognitive impairment, which can be a precursor. And she was really forgetful about the details we were doing for the wedding. And that's when I thought, okay, this is something's going on.
Yeah. I understand. And they talk about this 20 years before your memory starts fading. People who, simple things like they stand too close. They don't have a good spatial sense of, hey, I'm really getting into your your personal space, that sort of thing, which seems subtle, and you know, a lot of people
like
do that.
Social cues, definitely. Yeah, I mean, personality changes as the disease progresses are pretty severe, and there can be a lot of risk factors that happen when somebody gets into those moderate to late stages, But yeah.
Well, if you don't mind my asking, how did it begin for your mom?
Like I said, she was diagnosed with mild cognitive impairment in 2017.
What were the signs of that?
Just mild forgetfulness.
Yeah.
But I never, so mild cognitive impairment, people can be diagnosed with that and it not necessarily always turn into Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. So,
Has she ever been forgetful before?
A little bit.
Yeah.
So I had no idea. I just thought, okay, she's just going to be a little confused. And, you know, she had cancer in 2009. We mm-hmm. always joke she had chemo brain for years. Okay. So I think if somebody's gone through certain experiences or has a personality type that makes them more forgetful, mm-hmm. you may pin it on that, right?
Right.
But it just was a slow progression over since 2017, and then she declined pretty quick in about a year and a half ago. So she's been in a memory care since. Mm-hmm. And we've just been navigating it the best we can, you know.
Okay.
Every day is different.
So it began with forgetfulness, and I gather the forgetfulness became more
like she would make a list
constant.
And go to the grocery store and come home with everything but what was on the list. Or she would go and buy cleaning products one day and then go buy more cleaning products the next day. And my dad said, well, you just bought that, you know. So you really just... You'll know. You'll see signs, and she did see a doctor and got diagnosed. And I really want to focus here on like early detection and the importance of it. And I think it's more important than ever because only half of those with the disease ever receive a diagnosis, mm-hmm. which is shocking. And that delays care needed.
What happens then? I mean,
I think some people just do ignore it a little bit. Yeah. That's just my opinion. And don't really know what's happening. And that's why it's so important to educate yourself. But the earlier you detect this disease or any form of dementia, it offers significant benefits. The person diagnosed for them and their loved and the whole family, really, you know, mm-hmm. you can have greater access to treatment options and then the ability to plan for the future. So the loved one that's experiencing this disease, you know, it's very scary. And having some say in how you want to handle your affairs mm-hmm. and things like that and is important to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've mentioned a PET scan. What is involved in early diagnosis? And at what point do you say, gosh, maybe I better talk to somebody about this?
Since I'm not a physician,
I understand.
I don't know how to specifically answer that question, but I think that a caretaker or a loved one that has concerns in general, it's not going to hurt to have that conversation mm-hmm. With your loved one, but also with their primary care physician.
Okay.
And there are things that look like early signs of dementia that aren't that. So, I mean, if somebody's acting confused or having memory loss, especially if they're like in that older demographic,
right?
You know, it could be a variety of things. And wouldn't you want to eliminate that or at least know what's going on?
Yeah.
I mean, there's also a statistic that came out within this year that 92% of Americans would want medication to slow the progression. That's a huge statistic.
Sure.
So I think there's a lot of people that aren't willing to get diagnosed. Mm-hmm. But then when you see that number, you would want the treatment. And some of these treatments are only effective if you're in the early stages.
Right.
Once you've progressed, like my mother, if we put her on any of these medications, it wouldn't do anything. It's too late. So, you know, that's why we focus on early detection.
If you're worried, if you're seeing things that you think are symptoms, you're concerned are symptoms, if you could eliminate Alzheimer's, what a relief that would be.
Yeah.
Or if it is early onset, mm-hmm. Or at least early stage.
Yeah.
What is available now for treatment? If indeed they say, yeah, I think that's what you're dealing with here.
Yeah. So there are there's like treatments that you can go in for infusion therapies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to speak too much on this because I'm still learning about it myself.
Okay.
But I know that my mom was on a patch that kind of helped with symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And these medications are new. And the association, you know, does encourage anyone that, you know, is interested in learning more. There's information on trial match, things like that, mm-hmm. to kind of access what those options look like. But, I mean, for this disease was first labeled by mm-hmm. a I think he was a German neuroscientist.
Yeah, that would.
Alois Alzheimer's, and in 1908.
Oh, it's 08, okay.
For 100 years, we didn't have anything until the 90s. We, almost 100 years, until the 90s, they started to have medications that would help with those symptoms. Mm-hmm. But like I said, in the last 3 years, we have medications that are slowing it.
Okay.
Which is the whole point, give people more time. And
Yeah, I'm thinking, like I said, I have a friend in Dallas who just recently got a PET scan, and I think it's looking for like plaque in the brain.
Yes.
I probably don't know enough to even be talking about it, but
there's tangles and plaques in the brain, and you know, with the different types of dementia, don't quote me on this, but I think each different type, there's Lewy body, vascular dementia, Alzheimer's, there's a few others.
Yeah, Lewy body, I think, is what Bruce Willis is dealing with.
Yes, yeah. they all have different, I think, symptoms, or they stem from different areas in the brain. And so some people can even have mixed dementia, so it does make it difficult to diagnose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know in Willis's case, I was reading that he was having trouble. He was having to do scripts line by line, you know, only one line at a time because he couldn't remember.
Yeah. So, and you're hearing about it more and more in the media with people like Bruce Willis experiencing it, which is good for awareness, too, in my opinion.
Which, and he's not an elderly man. He is older, but he's not an elderly man. I mean, it can happen at any time, I presume.
Yeah. And it's not a normal part of aging. Like, you know, I have friends that have grandparents that are forgetful, or, you know, some are still sharp as a tack. And it's there is some memory loss associated with aging, and things can happen over time. But what Alzheimer's is and dementia, it is not aging. I have seen my grandparents age, and there was nothing like what we're experiencing with my mother.
Right.
Like, their whole personality changes. It is a disease that progresses over time, and they will deteriorate over time. And it's awful. It's shattering, heart-shattering. Like, my whole family has been just destroyed by this disease.
Yeah.
And
I'm guessing, particularly for a partner, it's even tougher to deal with.
Yeah. I mean, the caregivers suffer. I mean, the whole family is affected, but the caregivers, it becomes very difficult when you're caring for someone with dementia. You know, I have two small children, and I could reason with them more than I could with, you know, you can reason with them a little bit more like a toddler than you could with someone with dementia at times. And it can be scary, and it can be stressful, and there are a lot. My biggest piece of experiencing it is it's okay to ask for support and help. There's a lot of local resources as well through the association that that offer support groups, or just talking to somebody that's gone through it has been really helpful for me. And I think that just knowing what you're walking into and having the education and support is going to make the biggest difference. So you don't feel alone. If you isolate yourself, especially as a caretaker, it's not healthy.
I'm thinking, as a caretaker, as a partner, a husband, a wife who's has to deal with this in their partner, in the early stages, I would think you'd have to almost fight the impulse to be frustrated, to be, oh, come on, we just watched this 2 weeks ago. You can't remember the plot?
Yeah. I think that is the biggest thing, is frustration and having patience. Like, I don't do well with, my patience has grown tremendously since becoming a mother and doing this.
Well, yeah, that'll do it, yeah.
But I will say that that is a struggle, the stress and the frustration that comes with it. And then you're also grieving, you know, the changes in a person's personality, and you're watching somebody that you love slowly disappear is the worst thing you can go through.
Yeah.
And then to have the brunt of the caretaking is very stressful.
Other than the forgetfulness, what other emotional changes are
major
there?
Major personality changes.
Yeah.
Paranoia. My mom was trying to, you know, she was always the most joyful, mm-hmm. loving, fun person. And she would get paranoid. She would kind of lash out. She'd be angry. Mm-hmm. So just things like that that you don't recognize. You just don't recognize them anymore.
Okay.
But then there's moments where, you know, they come back, mm-hmm. you know, but.
And differentiating, and again, this may be a question for a doctor, mm-hmm. but standard getting older, forgetting a few things here and there and that sort of thing. What separates Alzheimer's? It is an actual affliction, mm-hmm. is an actual physical condition, not just normal.
Yeah, it's not a normal part of aging. It is a terminal disease where your brain will deteriorate over time, whereas normal aging is just, you know, you might forget things here and mm-hmm. there, but you're not progressively getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
And there might be mild forms of other things that I'm not, you know, again, right. I'm not a physician. I don't know, but it is a diagnosable disease that progressively gets worse, and there is no cure.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully there will be one day. But yeah, that's the difference.
Well, they just announced, for example, an HIV vaccine. So I mean, someday they will. But and someday they will find a cause, one presumes.
Yeah. You know. And my hope is that my kids never have to experience this. And if I hope in my lifetime that. If anyone in my age range is starting to, you know, a friend or me or a husband or family member gets mm-hmm. diagnosed, that there's like a conversation that can be had. Okay, this is what we're going to do to like going through a treatment mm-hmm. for cancer, you know, the treatment options. I'm hopeful for that.
Well, and again, this is, and we only have a couple of minutes left,
okay.
but this is the month, mm-hmm. a month to be thinking about it. Think about it all the time. But.
Yeah. And there's a lot of way to support, you know, Go Purple, Join the Fight. We have our walk every year at UT Tyler. It's in the mm-hmm. fall. It's October 5th. It's a lot of fun to come out. It's like a big support group. So if you mm-hmm. know somebody has dementia, you just want to support, that's a great way to get involved. That's all on our website. You know, just be an advocate and get involved, really. I feel like being in this position has given me a voice to share my story mm-hmm. And just educate people. I have people that pick up the phone and call me and ask questions,
mm-hmm.
But also just general awareness and knowing what this disease looks like and knowing what you can do to, like I said, implement healthy habits and just have brain health changes mm-hmm. in your lifestyle is important. So we just want to raise awareness and educate the community on the disease.
And as you say, healthy all aspects of a healthy lifestyle, whether it's diet, exercise, brain stimulation, be a reader, be active, you know, et cetera.
Yeah. I mean, I'm already teaching my kids like how to read labels and know what they're putting into their bodies and mm-hmm. to stay active. And I just, like I said, I don't think you might think it's too late for me. And I am not the healthiest person on the planet, but I have made a lot of incremental changes to my mm-hmm. lifestyle, and that makes me feel better about just being aware of what brain health looks like and how you can control those things.
And blood pressure.
Blood pressure.
You mentioned, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just going to the doctor and having those conversations is mm-hmm. important.
Okay.
Yeah.
Emma Thorne, thank you so much. Yeah. I appreciate it. Let's give them the website before we're out of time here.
Yeah, our website is www.alz.org. And like I said, we have...
Or just Google the Alzheimer's Association.
Just Google the Alzheimer's Association. We're a national nonprofit. We have a ton of resources from education, support. I would be remiss if I didn't mention we have a helpline mm-hmm. that's 24 hours a day. And I mention that because if you're in, especially if you're a caretaker and it's 3 a.m. and you're struggling with something, there is clinical support on the other end of that line that can help direct you or even get you local resources. So it's a wonderful thing that we have that's, like I said, year-round, 24 hours a day.
It'd probably be easier just to go to the website and get the helpline number.
Honestly,
there.
If you Google it, it's right there.
Okay. Emma, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thanks
about
for having
this, folks.
Me.
And this will be on on our website right after it airs on Sunday. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it, and we will see you next week.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.